Something about roads makes them particularly susceptible to hauntings. Many lose their lives on the side of the road. Many more choose to wander the winding highways in search of something they never seem to find. Today we bring you three of the most famous and spookiest legends from East Tennessee roads. Let us know if you've heard any of these stories, and if you've encountered any of these spirits as you've driven through the Smoky Mountains. Turn on your headlights for good luck and get behind the wheel for some stories today on Homespun Haints. Hello, Hainted Loves. Welcome to Homespun Haints. I'm Becky.
Hey, I'm Diana.
We're moving into a slightly different territory today. We're still going to stay in the Appalachians, but instead of interviewing somebody, we are going to talk about some legends in the Appalachians, and they all have something in common. And Diana, these are all places that, should we choose, we can actually go to on our trip.
Get out of town. That's fun.
We'll see if you think you're brave enough after I tell you these stories.
If I'm going to the underground cave that you have to wiggle your way through a crevice to get to a cave with no light, with only fish living in it, then I think I can brave anything.
This is actually kind of timely. So, Diana, I think I mentioned to you that I'm going to Kingsport, my hometown.
You are, yeah.
Friday and Saturday before this episode airs, I will actually be up in my hometown. I'm going for sad reasons. I'm going to go attend a funeral of somebody who was very, very meaningful and influential in my early life. But I had to stay in a hotel while I'm there. So, of course, I chose a haunted one.
And if you have to stay in a hotel, you may as well stay in the room with ghosts.
I called this historic inn and I asked for the haunted room. And
and because it's Tennessee, they just said, all right, do you want 402 or 499?
No, it'd already been rented out, unfortunately.
Oh, darn it. Stupid competition for haunted rooms.
But the lady said, she's like, you know, that one's the most famously haunted, but the whole hotel's haunted. You'll probably see something. She's like, if you're lucky, you'll see a ghost. This is why I love Tennessee.
If you're lucky. Yeah, they don't say that here.
But road trips are going to be a little bit of the theme of today's episode.
Just nice.
Yeah. But Diana, I understand that you had something you wanted to share with me.
I don't know how to intro this. Becky.
Yes, Diana.
I found that you say some pretty strange things and you claim that you get these phrases from your mountain upbringing.
I do.
Yes, like you say, dip you a plate. Instead of serve yourself.
Is that not normal to say, go dip yourself?
No, it's not.
Okay.
But that's why I wanted to know how much Appalachian slang is for reals and how much is just people blowing smoke up my butt.
By people, are you referring to Becky?
Yeah, by people, I mean you. You are people. I found some official mountain slang from the Appalachians, actually from the internet.
Okay.
Which claims to be the utmost authority on whether or not somebody would actually say these bizarre terms in Appalachia. And I wanted to quiz you on them and see if you know what they mean.
Sounds good.
Because I assume if you don't know, that means I don't need to know either. First word is airish.
Does that mean like putting on airs?
Well, according to the guide that I found, it means that it's chilly.
Okay, that makes sense.
Like it's airish out.
Yeah, because the air is blowing. I get that. I've never heard it before, but I get it. I'm going to start using it just to throw you off. Because it is airish here today in Georgia.
It's a little airish here as well. How about mushmelon?
Is that when you let the honeydew go too long?
No, it just means cantaloupe.
Not honeydew, but cantaloupe.
So how about this one? Sagoglin.
Sagoglin?
Sagoglin.
That's when you're staring at something too long.
She saw me sagoglin at her rear. Now she won't talk to me no more.
I've never heard that before.
Neither have I, but I figured you would have. Okay, so sagoglin apparently means crooked or lopsided. Like cattywampus.
Yeah, cattywampus makes more sense.
See, that's what I would say. Cattywampus, not Sagoglin. That sounds more like Illinois slang somehow.
Doesn't
I don't know.
It? Yeah.
It's all Sagoglin all over the place. Right. I don't know. We already know what booger means.
Yes.
Cryptid or monster.
Something that lives under your porch and makes weird noises at night. It's a booger.
Lives under your porch, specifically. So we know what a booger is, but what's a boomer?
My parents. It's a thunderstorm.
According to this, it's a squirrel. I think this might be a different part of the mountains than you're from.
Yeah, this is like up in like New York or something. Upstate Appalachians. All right, we'll continue.
How about tater hole?
Well, you shouldn't put taters in there, but you might.
So you think it's like pie hole? Shut your pie hole.
No, I think it's the other hole.
Oh, the other end of the... goes in the pie hole, comes out the tater hole. That's anatomy 101.
Yeah. If you don't get enough water, it is kind of like shitting potatoes.
In this, it says it's another word for a like basement.
Good grief. I mean, yeah, I guess a cellar, because that's where you would store your fruits, like your cellar goods and your canning and all that. But I swear, this is not the part of the mountains I'm from.
How about whistle pig?
Groundhog?
Yes! That's correct. A whistle pig is a groundhog. How about dope?
Well, let's just say the best dope is in Tennessee. It grows pretty good there. We got the soil for it.
See, this guide says it's a soft drink.
No, what?
I know.
No.
Who came up with this crap?
No, soft drink's just Coke. Don't matter what kind. It's just a Coke.
All right. Well, I'm switching to a different source because that source is obviously dope. From... north of Philly. Psh. Not the real Appalachians.
Hey, it's still the real Appalachians. It's just a different Appalachian. The Appalachians go for a very long ways.
Hey, I thought we were gatekeeping being a hillbilly nowadays.
So stupid. No. Uh-uh. I mean, we're actually going to be interviewing some people from the Ozarks soon. We're just going to like bleed over a little.
That's so. My neck of the woods.
I know. Oh, I think you're going to like that.
Oh, I bet I will.
Well, a lot of Appalachian settlers then moved on to the Ozarks, so there's a lot of crossover.
Mountain migrations. It's a hillbilly diaspora.
Hit me up with some more slang.
Do you know the difference between she-balsam and he-balsam?
Yeah, pine trees do have different genders. One's going to be flowering and one's not. No?
It just says a fir tree and a spruce tree. How about a painter?
Oh, no. I know. It's somebody who misses in the outhouse.
Oh, no. Nowhere near as obvious as that. I wish it were. Okay. No, it just says another word for mountain lion.
Lit from panther?
I guess. Panther.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Continue.
Do you know the difference between long sweetening and short sweetening?
Long sweetening is when you make a simple syrup, and short sweetening is when you just throw sugar in.
Close! Long sweetening is maple syrup specifically, whereas short sweetening is anything else, honey or sugar. Mm-hmm. Okay. Cum fluttered.
Cum fluttered. Confused.
Yes!
That one's pretty
Yay!
Easy.
Yay! You know that, or did you just guess?
I mean, it sounds like that's what it would mean. Just like a whistle pig sound like it would be a groundhog. All right, keep going.
How about a law?
What?
A law. A law. E-H, L-A-W.
Oh, Lord.
A law. Oh, yes, I think so. Basically meaning like, oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. This is my favorite. From can-see to can't-see.
From can see to can't see.
From can see to can't see.
From where you're at to where you can't see it anymore.
In this definition, it says from dawn to dusk. I get it. Can see at dawn to can't see at dusk. All right. Hey, hang on. How about pig in a poke?
Oh, yeah. You know that one.
I've heard it, but I never knew what it meant.
Oh, he sold me a vacuum cleaner, but it ended up being a pig in a poke?
Yeah. Or like that car I bought, it's nothing but a pig in a poke. Keeps shutting down. I have to go to the mechanic. I don't know what cars do.
Yeah, Diana's never driven a car.
Never, not in my life.
She always flies on her broomstick. Or her Swiffer, that's whatever's right. available.
I have a sticker on the back of my broom that says my other car is a car.
All right.
What about Zony's alive? Zony's alive! Exclamation point. It's an expression.
I was like, great balls of fire.
Goodness right? gracious, great balls of fire. Yeah. I think so. Yeah, okay. Just means holy shit.
Zony's alive now. I thought I done killed it last weekend. Now Zony's alive again.
This is awful. How about beginning to turn?
Oh, that means it's starting to rot. I know that one.
Yeah, but in this case, they say it means someone's close to dying. Like, Aunt Lydia is beginning to turn. She'll be in the tater hole soon. Okay. It sounds like we all have some brushing up to do before we visit this region. What about a ball hoot?
Like a party?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
So no. No. I believe you. You say things so confidently. I'm like, yeah, sure, Becky. That sounds right.
It's the former professor in me. I'd always have to act like I knew what I was talking about.
Yes, of
no,
course.
What the hell is it? I don't know.
A ball hoot. It's originally a practice from the logging industry, in which case you would roll the logs downhill instead of transporting them on a truck downhill. But in the Smokies today, it means someone's driving recklessly on a hazardous road.
He's ball hooting?
You can ball hoot down that road.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Diana, those were enlightening. It made yes. me realize I don't think I know as much as I think I do.
I think you were too isolated there in Kingsport from the rest of Appalachia.
No.
No?
I think those words come from a different part of Appalachia.
I think so, too. These are all Smoky Mountain terms. Where's the Smoky Mountains specifically?
The Smoky Mountains are specifically where I grew up.
Well, I can't help you then. You just didn't hang out with the right mountain folk. Your folks are from Florida or whatever.
To be perfectly geographically clear, I grew up in a little valley between the Smokies and the Blue Ridge.
You grew up in a gap, in other words.
No, a valley.
No. Sorry, I'm trying to use this slang.
A gap is when the mountains are a little bit lower in a place. I grew up in a valley, not a gap, between two mountain ranges within the Appalachians. Okay. Between the Smokies and the Blue Ridge Mountains. And the Blue Ridge are a little bit higher than the Smokies, which is why I like going to the Blue Ridge when I go up there now.
Just don't go ball hooting down the road there.
Oh, I plan to ball hoot a lot. Especially when you're in the car, Diana. When we go up there. Yeah, I know. I know you're afraid. So if you'd like to follow along with our adventures, please check us out at patreon.com/homespunhaints. And if you're at all interested, you can join our Patreon as a paying member and get all of our episodes plus bonus content ad-free.
In other words, you wouldn't hear this.
Are you tired of websites that have been Frankenstein together?
Oh, my website is so slow and creaky.
Every time I use the search bar, it just returns Abby Normal over and over again.
Becky's sister company, The Concept Spot, holds the secret to life itself and can create new life from nothing. In fact, we've been giving life to highly functional websites for the last 25 years using premium parts we swear we didn't salvage from graveyards.
Ooh, check out that head. Image.
Instead of going,
my new website purrs.
Need a blog? The Concept Spot can do that. Want an online store? We can do that too.
We build our sites from the cellular level. No reused templates or discarded body parts here, so we can make your site do whatever you want and look however you want.
It's gorgeous! I can't even see the stitches.
We can also resurrect your dead website if rigor mortis has set in.
Oh, it's like a new man.
If you think Homespun Haints is frighteningly genius, you should see our websites. Let your favorite ghoulish gals, Becky and Diana, build you a monstrous website that will wreak havoc on the internet for years to come.
Visit theconceptspot.com for more information.
It's live! It's live!
Oh, hi. Hello. It's Dom. And along with my co-host Amy, we are the hosts of Horror House, True Crime, and The Macabre. If, like us, you have a morbid curiosity with true crime, the paranormal, cults, and more, then our show may just satisfy your curiosities. We release episodes on Fridays and bonus episodes every other Wednesday. You can listen to us wherever you find your podcasts, and you can also find us on Instagram at horrorhouse_pod. So, all that's left to say is, until next time, my friends, stay spooky.
Diana.
Becky.
We are going on a road trip.
I'm so excited.
To the Appalachians. And I thought this was a great time to talk about some highways to hell.
Ooh. Let's go ball hooting down the highway to hell. I'm ready.
Roads are so haunted.
Roads are really haunted. Especially ones with bridges on them.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
People die from ball hooting all the time.
Roads are dangerous. Cars are dangerous. Mm-hmm. They always have been. I'm going to tell you about some car accidents that date back 100 years today.
Oh.
Cars were a lot less safe back then, even if they couldn't go as fast.
Yeah.
And the mountains are also very unsafe. It's also a liminal space. And so you have a double whammy because a road is a place that you're traveling on. It's a place between destinations, place from can-see to can't-see. I know that's not the proper use of that, but I want to keep you, because like, you know, you can't see over the next hill.
That's true. Who knows what's over that hill? It could be boogers. Yeah,
probably.
Lots of them.
Yeah, they're everywhere. There are some particularly famous hauntings in my neck of the woods, in the Smokies, that I wanted to share with you today, Diana.
That take place on the road?
That take place on the road. The very first ghost I ever saw was actually on a road. So, well, I shouldn't say that I ever saw, that I ever acknowledged as a ghost. Because there's all these stories that I've shared from when I was a kid. The imaginary friend that wasn't imaginary. The strange children at the babysitter's house that nobody else saw but me and my sister. The kids that I used to encounter on the mountainsides that knew all the herbs, but nobody knew who they were.
But this was the first ghost that you were like, that's definitely not alive.
Uh-huh. And I was so excited. I was in my early 20s, and I was driving home from Chicago along Lakeshore Drive, and I got up to the suburbs in Evanston. It was on Sheridan Road, and I was driving around this big curve there that everybody always takes way too fast. It was late at night. It was like 2-3 in the morning, and I saw somebody walking along the side of the road. And then, poof, they were gone.
What?
And I was so excited. Of course, I ran home. I called all my friends. I was like, I saw a ghost along Sheridan right next to the lake. And they were all like, oh, there's a jogging path there. Somebody probably just like was jogging and then went into the bushes or something.
Is that what happened?
I don't know. I mean, 3 a.m.
That is a strange time for jogging.
Yeah, exactly. And just to poof, disappear like that. So who knows? Maybe somebody decided they needed to make a detour through bushes.
All of a sudden veers off the jogging path into a shrubbery.
Or maybe I did see my first road ghost.
Perhaps so. I mean, people wouldn't normally even clock these things, right? Because, of course, there's a bunch of people on the side of the road. But I guess at 2:30 in the morning, it's kind of a little easier to notice what's going on with that person, eh?
I always tended to notice things that were happening on the side of the road in Chicago because I saw some interesting things. One day I was driving down Lakeshore Drive. It was like broad daylight, noon, and I look over at the giant median between the two directions, and there were two naked-ass people fucking just going at it right there in the median. And I was like, wow. Yeah, wow. I had just recently moved, like just got in my car. I was new to the area, and I was like, mm-hmm. Not in Kingsport anymore. So it was...
Wow.
Of course, maybe they were dead too, because nobody else seemed to notice them. Not like cars were swerving off the road or anything to stop and look.
Did it turn out that that was an everyday occurrence?
I only saw it one time. Oh. There, at least. So, but growing up, my mother would always see things on the side of the road.
Naked people?
No. People in long dresses. People that looked off. She would point them out to us. She'd be like, look at that person. They look like an old witch. Look at that person. What are they doing there? And we would always look and there'd be nobody there. And it was always at weird spots where a car would be likely to veer off the side of the mountain.
Oh.
Like, there's no trails there. There's just a guardrail and a hillside full of kudzu. And she'd be like, why is somebody standing there? And be like, Mom, nobody's standing there.
So your mom could see entities that you and your sister could not.
But she always has been able to, yeah. All of this is to say, this is not uncommon. We have highway ghosts everywhere. And one very, very popular legend that dates back all the way to the 1600s, actually, is the urban legend of the hitchhiker ghost.
Isn't there one of those everywhere?
There is. There is. The famous one is in Chicago, Resurrection Mary. She died in a dance hall, and she'll dance all night with you and then disappear out of your car as you drive her home, just as you reach the cemetery gates of Resurrection Cemetery. Well, the Smokies have their own hitchhiker ghost legend. This is in Gatlinburg, which is where Dollywood is. Like I said, we could go there if we want, because we're going to be stopping by Dollywood. This is along a trail known as the Roaring Fork Nature Motor Trail. It's called Roaring Fork because there is a stream there. It's just a little trickle. But whenever there's a heavy rain, it turns into a roaring fork. In fact, they say that you can hear the rapids echoing throughout the mountains for miles and miles around.
Nice. So we're getting to ride down it in a raft?
No, you can't. Oh. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go bootlegging. What was it, the word?
Ball hooting?
Ball hooting.
Yeah, ball hooting down ball the Whitewater Rapids.
Down Roaring Fork. The first European settlers that arrived in the area actually made it into a little village. There were several families that came in. They built some log cabins up in and around the area that are still there. You can still see them. Unfortunately, one of the cabins burned to the ground with a young woman inside. Her name was Lucy. Lucy was a beautiful young girl. Next door neighbor had his eye on her. In 1909, the cabin burned to the ground with Lucy inside. She burned to death, which is why many say that she's still there. The legend states that a young man named Foster came through a few years later on horseback. This is 1909 in Tennessee. He's on horseback. And he's going through the woods, and he found a young girl in the woods in the winter.
Oh.
Wearing no shoes.
Oh.
In a white nightgown. He said, oh my gosh, what are you doing? And he immediately took his coat, put his coat around her, hoisted her up on his horse, and said he was going to take her home. And he said that it was strange because she must have been cold, but her hands were as toasty as fire wrapped around him. He was like, how is it this woman is so warm? She must have a fever. She must be burning up. So he took her to the house, but she wouldn't let him take her all the way. She said, my father wouldn't understand. And she jumped off the horse a little ways from the cabin and disappeared into the trees on her way to the cabin. Now, some legends say that this happened multiple times to Foster. He kept running into her in the woods, kept bringing her home. And eventually decided he wanted to ask her hand in marriage.
A logical conclusion to giving her a ride a few times. Not many people in these here parts.
So he went to her house and he went up to the house and knocked on the door and said, I would like to ask for your daughter's hand in marriage. And the father who answered the door started crying and said, we lost our dear Lucy years ago. And the man said, what? Nah, I've been giving her rides. And then the father said, you're not the first person who's come asking for her hand in marriage.
What?
Saying that he's been giving her rides home.
Oh. Not the first person who came to the logical conclusion that once you give a woman a few rides, she owes you her hand in marriage.
Right.
Multiple people coming to this conclusion. I see.
You can drive along this road still, and you can see if you see a young girl on the side of the road with no shoes on looking for a ride. However,
Are you a huge cunt?
Us too. Wait, can we even say cunt?
Of course. It's empowering these days. Cunt, 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 cunt. I'm Ange Balasone, aka the drag queen, Fat Girl Gina.
And I'm Mike Fails, just a normal gay guy, I guess?
And we're the hosts of The Big Cunty Couch,
a gorgeous new talk show podcast where we invite queers and peers to sit bitch and be fierce on a huge ass couch
while we gab about all things gay.
So come get cozy
and cunty
with us. We're pan for platforms, so find us anywhere online and get listening, sweetie.
Or watching.
Or both.
Otherwise, why the hell am I in full drag?
And we'll see you on The Big Oh, wait. I thought we were going to say that together.
No. On The Big Cunty Couch. Mwah.
You only see her if you're single heterosexual male.
You only see her in winter because the cabin burned down in the wintertime.
Oh, that's fair.
Interestingly enough, however, the road is now closed every winter.
Oh.
So is it because it becomes too treacherous in the wintertime, or is it because the park wants to make sure that nobody accidentally falls in love with a ghostly hitchhiker?
That's great. That's a good story.
Well, that's not the only ghostly road in Gatlinburg.
Oh.
Let's move over a little bit to a town called Briceville, Tennessee, a place for a lot of coal mining. In 1891, on Halloween of 1891, began what is known as the Coal Creek War. You may not have known that we had our own little war here in Tennessee. What happened was there was a mine. The Coal Creek Mining and Manufacturing Company decided they could save some money by firing all of their coal miners. Now, remember, this is your sole source of income, right? You were a miner, your kids became miners, all of that. They got rid of all of the working miners and decided they were going to use forced prison labor instead. It was free.
Yeah.
They contracted with the Tennessee State Prison System to bring in free labor. And of course, as you can imagine, the miners were not too happy about this. There was an uprising. The miners came in, they started burning equipment. They actually released a lot of the prisoners.
Oh,
free.
Oh, wow. If you're not in prison, you can't take my job. I like it.
And a lot of people died. A lot of people died. I mean, that's why they call it a war. They ended up having to send in soldiers to put it down.
Just the coal miners, whatever they would have called a union at the time.
Well, they didn't have unions yet.
Yeah.
But this actually was a big reason why unions formed.
Yeah.
There was a particular person. His name was Dick Drummond. He had actually been in the Navy, so he was a soldier, and he was working in the mines, and he was part of the revolt. You see, what happened was he killed one of the soldiers that had been coming in to put down the revolt. He was 25 years old. But he may not have been the only one. There's legends and stories that he was singled out for punishment because he was close with a lady. So basically the militia that came in, apparently one of the militiamen liked the same girl that Drummond liked. That's a story that they try to create to explain why what happened to Drummond happened to Drummond.
Uh-oh.
He was the only one who was so brutally executed because of the revolt. So this militiaman, whoever he may have been, decided he was going to personally hang Drummond from the steel beams of a nearby bridge.
That's specific. It definitely sounds like it's something personal.
He hung him up there and basically left him to die in the elements. Kind of like a crucifixion, if you will.
So rude.
Yeah, exactly. This happened without a trial. This happened with, he's just like, oh, we're gonna kill you. So once word got back to the authorities of what happened, they actually ended up arresting 16 soldiers that had been brought in to put down the revolt and tried them for murder.
Oh, wow.
It was a pretty big deal. I mean, basically, even the local authorities were like, yeah, this was not appropriate to do this. Like, you know, leaving a man hanging from a bridge, like not hanging from the neck until you die, but like hanging, like strung up there to die. Anyway, as you can imagine, that bridge is very haunted now. In fact, guess what the bridge is called?
Hangman's Bridge.
No.
Darn.
It's called Drummond Bridge.
Oh, because that,
Dick Drummond.
That's a little more polite, I guess.
So you will see Dick Drummond on the bridge at night. But there's a legend that in order to see him, you have to go there late at night. You have to be completely quiet. You have to walk across the bridge. And you have to dress like a late 19th century soldier. Oh. So in order to get the full experience.
Also highly specific.
And Dick will appear to you, maybe to seek revenge.
Naked?
That's not in the stories I read.
Oh, okay.
However, those that have been there say that they feel nauseous when they're near the bridge. And it's like everything is dead when you get to it. Even the birds stop singing. Wow. There's something about this bridge. And if you'd really like to, like I said, it's in the Smokies. We can go there if you want. It's about 40 minutes from Gatlinburg.
We have to bring costumes with us, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dress like 19th century soldiers.
You're taller than me, so you have to pose as a soldier. Nobody's going to believe that I'm a soldier as short as I am.
What? There's no height limit to soldiers, is there?
No, I'm just saying you got to do it. That's all. They're going to think that I'm a whistle pig or something.
So you're using me as bait, in other words.
I'm using you as bait.
Ghost bait.
Yeah? Oh my gosh, what are friends for? Okay. All right, Diana, are you ready to hear about one more haunted road?
Am I? Don't know. Am I going to have to go pose as a naked soldier and yell for Dick on this bridge as well?
You're going to take off your clothes and yell for Dick on a bridge.
I thought that's what I was supposed to do, to summon Drummond.
No, you don't have to be naked.
Oh, I'm getting your stories confused, I think.
Yeah, where does the naked come from?
You said you saw people naked fucking in a median.
Oh, that was Chicago. Different part of the world.
Oh, they might have been alive. We're not sure yet.
They sure were going at it like they were alive.
I mean,
if I'm dead, I want to still be doing that.
I'll take my time, though, if I'm dead.
I'm sure they were there. It's hard to get into the median.
Right? That's very deliberate. That's not like a meet you halfway, can't wait any longer kind of greet up. That's like a no, let's go fuck in that median on purpose kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened.
Maybe they thought that if they did end up getting stopped by the police, they'd have plenty of warning.
Well, interestingly enough, I did have people in the car with me when I was driving and I pointed it out to them and none of them saw it.
Oh, just like your mom. I see.
So maybe it was fucking ghosts.
Fucking ghosts.
Well, let's share one last story, and this one comes from my hometown. Now, when we spoke to Rhonda from SRS Paranormal, she did mention getting to investigate near the Netherland Inn. I asked her about the Netherland Inn, which is very, very old, very, very haunted. But what is most haunted and most legendary about the Netherland Inn is the road around it.
Okay.
There's also the legend of Sensabaugh Tunnel.
That sounds familiar. I feel like I've heard that before, the Sensabaugh Tunnel.
Yeah, you have, because our guest Ella talked about it.
That's where.
According to kingsporttennessee.gov, Sensabaugh Tunnel is a nationally recognized urban legend.
There's such a thing as a national... Is there like a national register for urban legends? Like there is a historic registry? What?
I don't know. That's just what the website says. Anyway.
Nationally. Kind of like the Winchester was officially recognized as haunted by the state of California.
Right. It is not actually on the Netherland Inn Road. It's on Sensabaugh Hollow Road. But it is not too far from the Netherland Inn Road. It is about 3 miles from the Netherland Inn Road. And all of this is also pretty close to Long Island, which we've talked about as well. There's several legends. Nobody knows exactly what happened or if any of this actually happened. It was named after Edward Sensabaugh. He was the one who owned the land. And apparently he's also the reason it's called that. And if you switch off your car engine in the middle of the tunnel, you won't be able to turn your car back on. So don't turn it off in the tunnel.
Oh, yeah, that sounds dangerous.
You'll hear a baby crying. You'll hear Edward's footsteps. Edward Sensabaugh died in the 50s, but up until then, he was upset that people were starting to use the tunnel as a place to do graffiti. And if you see it now, it's just covered in graffiti. What he would do is he got really upset that people were like defacing his tunnel because it was on his property. So he would like hide at one end of the tunnel. And when he heard people, teens, always those good for nothing teens coming out with their spray paint, he would go and his eerie shriek would echo through the tunnel and scare the kids away.
Cool.
And so he created this legend of the tunnel being haunted so people would stop vandalizing it. But
clever.
Even after his death, he's still doing that.
Uh-oh. Manifestation. That's how you do it, Edward. He manifested his own haunted tunnel. Good job.
What I'm going to talk to you about, though, is the story that I heard as a kid of Netherlanden Road.
Okay.
It has to do with a car accident. There's a really, really heavy fog that likes to settle on Netherlanden Road. In fact, I think every time I've been on this road, it's been enveloped in a thick cloud. And it just has to do with its location being right by the river. And it's in the mountains, but it's, like I said, it's in a valley. So fog will settle right there on that road. And like I said, it's awesome, not too far from Long Island, which is cursed.
And penis-shaped.
Aren't all islands. Back in 1922, there were five boys driving along the road. They crashed the car. Not all of them made it. But one of the boys that did was a son of a man named Hugh Hamblin. I guess the hospital was really close to the road where they crashed because he had parked his car on the road to go visit his son in the hospital. When he got to the hospital, he was overjoyed that his son was okay and he was going to make it. So Hugh left the hospital and started to cross the road to go back to his car. It's late at night. He's tired. He crosses Netherlanden Road to get back to his old Model T. And the fog came back and settled onto the road. And Hugh saw the headlights coming toward him. And he started waving his arms frantically, hoping the car would see him. But it did not. And Hamblin was killed instantly, hit by the car. Now, some legends say, of course, the car was being driven by a young woman who didn't know how to drive. I think that's just the patriarchy putting its own spin on the legend.
Could it have been driven by a young woman who accidentally fell in love with him and went to his parents to ask for his hand in marriage?
That's funny.
Is that what really happened?
Maybe. So this happened 104 years ago. In that 104 years, there have been over 120, maybe more, reports of people who've seen Hugh Hamblin.
Specifically, like they've been able to describe what he looks like and everything.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to see him because it's always when it's foggy.
That's true. You just see hands waving as you drive.
They see a man in a fedora, a trench coat, and a scarf. So he's not the hat man. He's got a scarf on.
The hat man never has a scarf?
No, he's not that. He's not that fashionable.
Not that classy. I see.
And Hugh is there frantically waving.
God, that's got to be scary to come upon as you're ball hooting down the foggy road. We see some arms suddenly waving at you, and then you see a fedora fly up in the air, and then poof, nothing. Scary.
Yes, he just disappears as you get close to him. Now, some people also see a wrecked Model T on the side of the road.
Oh.
And some people will see a perfectly intact Model T on the side of the road.
But still, it's Hugh's car.
It's Hugh's car, yeah. Mm. So that was a legend that I grew up with.
Creepy.
We'll see if we want to add any of these haunted highways to our trip. Diana.
Becky.
Which of these most intrigues you? Which one do you want to see?
I want to see the tunnel. Tunnels are scary just in and of themselves.
I hope you all enjoyed this. I hope you're listening at night. I hope.
Hope you're listening from Appalachia, where you can just go outside and wander down this road at night, should you choose.
You might see somebody with no shoes, no feet, no scarf, No clothes.
No hat.
I hope that piqued your interest, Diana.
It did.
Roads are scary.
This is a road trip, so what a time to be alive. We're all scared of the roads, and here we go ball hooting up them into the mountains to this very haunted locale. Can't even get there without passing by hauntings on the road. Listeners, are you anywhere near any of these haunted roads, or are there any haunted roads near you? If so, get in touch, because we love to hear ghost stories, as you know. In the meantime, just be very careful not to accidentally fall in love with a ghost on the side of the road, or you might have a spooky day.
Homespun Haints is hosted by Becky Kielimnik and Diana Doty, and produced by Homespun Haints Media LLC. Editing and music by Becky Kielimnik. Show notes by Diana Doty. If you have a ghost story and you'd like to be considered as a guest for this podcast, please visit our website at homespunhaints.com/submit.